Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it is now Wednesday night, and it's the 8:30 hour, and it's time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you guys in the mighty name of Jesus to explore the Word together. Our Wednesday night Bible study, not mine. God has ordained and placed all of us together so that the Holy Ghost could dwell among us and give us inspiration and illumination of the Word that's going to go forth on the night. Our topic for tonight is God is always waiting for us with open arms. No matter what we may be going through, no matter what we have been through, no matter what we have to go through, we have to remember that God is there with us. And for anyone who haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, God is waiting for you with open arms. And those who maybe turn their back on God, God is also waiting for you with open arms. And all of us that are following the commands of God and doing the best we can and still feel like we haven't did enough, God is right there with open arms for you. Our scripture tonight is going to come from Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 20. We have to give obedience to God for what he is allowing us to do and realize nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allow it. And for that, we can trust him and realize how much he loves us and how much he's willing to take care of us. You know, we live in a world when anything goes. I'm sure most of you have seen what happened today, where 14 people were killed and 17 is wounded. They haven't given information as to why with particulars. But we realize that we live in a sin-sick, evil world. And people are doing anything that seems right in their own eyes. You know, I don't know how people who don't know God and Jesus in the part, you know, in the middle of their sins, I don't know how they make it in this world. But we have to hold on to the confession of our faith and keep pressing towards the mark of a high calling. You know, God said he would be our shelter in a time of storm. He said he would be our bridge over the troubled waters. You know, we don't minimize the things that's happening, and we don't really understand, but we know that it's evil and it's prevalent and it's right here in our faces. But those who have given all of their allegiance to God and Jesus Christ for what they have done in our lives, we have the strength to go through this. We look at it and realize that Satan is doing his thing. And we have to stay close and connected to God's power, his will for our lives. So as always, we have to enter the throne of grace with prayer. And I'm delighted that Madison is with me tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and let Madison pray. I'm going to come put on a song, and the song that I'm going to play is God is an awesome God. And if anybody would like to sing or pray before this take place, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. If anyone would like to pray or sing a song, you could do so at this time. Just press the one button on your phone. And since I don't have any buttons, no prompts that someone would like to do it, I'm going to go ahead and let Madison pray. Then I will play a song, And then we'll go into the lesson. Be blessed.
God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to tune in for the lesson, and that when they tune in, they can understand everything that my grandma is saying, and that they can go spread it out afterwards at work or at school or wherever they are with places that people need to know things about God. Thank you all for letting my grandma continue with this program, showing support that she's doing the right thing, and that when she does it, she encourages others. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. And with that being said, you know, my heart is really heavy because there's so much trials and tribulation, adversities on all sides. Innocent people is being shot down and just killed because evil. We have to recognize the enemy. The Bible tells us that we do not fight against flesh and blood. We have to stop these fights with one another, with family members and neighbors and sometimes friends and all of the drama that we have with one another. And you may not be doing it verbally or physically, but we have to all remember that God looks at the heart. And when we ask for forgiveness, or we ask God for something, he say, before you come to me, fix that what you done did with your brother or your sister. He said, and then come to me. You know, we all always looking for God to forgive us, but are we willing to forgive one another? Are we willing to forgive one another? And you have to remember, God searches the heart. So we have to see what's inside of our heart. You know, in the Old Testament, they circumcised the Jewish males after so many days at birth, and they took away the foreskin, you know, which gave them a sign to be that they was a part of their custom that they were a Jew. But you know, in the New Testament, you know, it's not required to be a child of God to circumcise your foreskin, but you know, God is taking and circumcising our heart. And when we ask God to circumcise our heart, we say, take away anything that will exalt itself against you. We are saying, let us have a clean heart. Wash us, dear God, with hyssop, that we may not sin against you. And the Holy Ghost is living and working in all of us to see that this is done. So I'm asking that everybody be prayerful for our city, our state, our country, our neighbor, our neighborhoods, all of the leaders that's in place, especially the police, because they are going peer D crazy. But I'm just asking that everybody be prayerful for these things, because God say, when my people will humble themselves and pray, he's going to show up, and usually he shows off. So at this time, I'm going to put the song on, and after the song, we're going to go straight into the lesson. I encourage you to get your Bibles. I pray that everyone who has received the scripture ahead of time has read it. And like I always say, don't just read the scriptures. Read the whole chapter. And if the book is little and you have the time, read the whole book so that you could be right there with comprehension and understanding. And hopefully at the end of the program, you could add something to it. You could expound on it, and it may be something that I didn't say that you may know. and you could bring it to the people. So enjoy this song, listen to the words, and then we're going to go into the lesson. Thank you.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, say. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice is
Is so true. God is such an awesome God. I see that some more callers have come in, and I want you to know the title of our lesson tonight is God is Always Waiting for Us with Open Arms. It's coming from Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 through 20. And as I go into this lesson tonight, this lesson is found in the book of Luke. Luke is also the writer of the book of Acts. You know, not like the other writers of the gospel, Luke was not an eyewitness of the gospel events. He used writings and eyewitness accounts of others to write both books. You see, God used Luke in writing this book and the other book that he wrote, because Luke was a physician. And by being a physician, his writing and his undertone would give us evidence that Jesus was a perfect human and a perfect Savior, that Jesus is really God in the flesh. Excuse. We see that Luke is also a Gentile now, and his writing would appeal to the Gentile audience. When you would say, why wasn't Luke a personal eyewitness to God? Remember, before Jesus' death, the gospel was not, well, before Jesus' death, the teaching and the religion, the Judaism religion, didn't accept Gentiles. So Gentiles didn't go in the synagogue and mingle with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish priests and the leaders, because Gentiles was considered dogs. And not dogs in a bad way, but just not good, a good thing. And that was the dispute between Jews and Gentiles. So that's why Luke wasn't just following Jesus and being everywhere Jesus is and listening to the gospel, because he was still probably believing in the law. You see, Luke was a doctor and a close companion to the Apostle Paul. Luke was not one of the 12 disciples. You know, many times if someone is asked to name the disciples, they always use Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke was not a disciple, but God knew Luke's ability. Come on, God used who he want, when he want, how he want, for everything that he want. You know, God created all of us, and he know what he put in us. So at the time when God was inspiring the Holy Bible to be written, and he wanted all of these particulars to be included in the writing, and, you know, he might have said, you know, I ain't going to say he might, you know, this is just me. You know, he could have said, well, I'm going to use Luke for that. Evidently he did, because he did use him. And Luke, because God knew his ability. He was educated and he was a historian. And as a doctor, he was compassionate. Luke was also, in his writings, you will see, he gave prominence to women. The title of the lesson tonight is God is Always Waiting for Us with Open Arms. And for those who read it, they probably see that this is the parable of the prodigal son. As always, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. God uses earthly things. Why? Because you're familiar with them. You're familiar with their meanings and what they are used for and what they do. You see, a parable places things beside one another. It makes comparisons so that their similarities could be noticed. It's a simple story illustrating a moral or religious lesson. Jesus taught many times in the gospel using parables. And for those who don't know, John is the only gospel that you won't find parables in, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke you will. When we look at the parable, we must take the comparison and make the comparison between earthly and the heavenly, then understand the message in Jesus' teaching. If Jesus taught in parables, he did it so you could say, what do this mean? And then you could, you know, you could look at what he used. He used things like salt. He used things like clay, sheep, shepherds. You know, he used, you know, things that you're familiar with so that you could truly understand the heavenly meaning. So when you look at a parable, see what God is trying to say. And Jesus said, everybody's not, he talked, when the disciples asked Jesus, why do he talk in parables? He said, I talk like this because what I'm saying is not for them, but it's for you. So he's saying it for us, the body of Christ, but it's not for someone else to get it because they couldn't get it because they're not in a spiritual place. So we're going to go into the lessons now, and I'm going to read Luke, the 15th chapter, the 11th, 12th, and 13th verse. And it reads, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to their father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall unto me, and divide unto them his living. And not many days after the young son had gathered all together and took his journey into a far-off country and there wasted his substance with rigorous living, righteous living. You see, the father in this parable is a character that remain constant throughout the story. This is a comparison of God, who is always forgiving, always constant, and cannot change. In telling the story, Jesus identified himself with God in this loving attitude towards the lost. The young son symbolized the lost and in a sinner. The young son received the name the prodigal son. And let me just tell you this. We look at prodigal son, prodigal son, prodigal son. I want you to know tonight that the word prodigal means extravagantly wasteful. That's what prodigal means if you look it up in a dictionary. So now you know why he was called the prodigal son. Not so much that he left, not so much that he was arrogant, but because he had extravagantly wasted what he had received. He was spendthrift and arrogant to agree a bordering on recklessness. You see, the elder son represents self-righteousness and unforgiving. So keep those things in mind as we go through the story, the parable that Jesus had given us for teaching. The young son asked his father for his share of his estate, which would have been half of what the older brother would have received. You know, it was their custom that the older child always received the most. This is the youngest boy. And remember, the father is not even dead. But you see, he wanted his, and he wanted it now. So he would have received one-third, And the brothers would have received two-thirds because he was the oldest. Though it was within his rights to act, it was not a loving thing to do, as it may have applied to his father that he wished he was dead. You know, sometime in the world we live in, and sometime they have a husband and wife, and the husband or the wife die, and the children come in and say they want their share. And, you know, they still have a parent living. Like to say, like I just said, they ain't right because it is their share. But is it their share now? You see, instead of rebuking his son, the man patiently granted his request. This is a picture of God letting a sinner go his own way. You know, God has our best interests at heart, and he's constantly coming to us with his arms wide open. But we decide sometimes to do what we want to do because we think we can, and we're big and bad enough to do it. And God lets us go our own way. So the boy made the request. The father gave him the request. So he took his inheritance and went to a far-off country. It is apparent from his previous action that he had already made the journey in his heart. You know, it wasn't the day he asked his father for it. He had been thinking and plotting it and you know, probably trying to get to the place to say, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But, you know, if you look at his actions, that lets you know it was premeditated. Come on now. He didn't just come up with it at that point. And he had made the journey in his heart, and the departure was just a display of his ungratefulness to all the goodness his father had offered. How many times people talk about all they do for their children and they're ungrateful, and how much you did for your neighbor and maybe what you did for somebody at work. And when it appears that, you know, or they go up against you or do something that's not right, you feel that they just was ungrateful. You know, the Bible teaches that one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. You know, this is compared to how we take God's goodness, grace, and loving kindness for granted. You know, God continued to keep loving on us. Now, everybody falls short of the glory of God, but are you blatantly premeditating doing wrong? And you have to check yourself out. Before long, all that he had was gone. You see, Satan have a way to get us to accept his perception. And when sin has accomplished its goal, we hit rock bottom and Satan pack up and walk away. But the good news, the gospel, is that God is always waiting for us with open arms. You see, the grass may look greener on the other side, but don't let what might seem greener fool you. Because sin always promises more than it can give. You know, Satan be talking in your ear, man, go ahead and do that. Ain't nobody going to see you. Man, you know, that's all right what you're fixing to do. You're not careful. You buy in and you take the perception. Remember, Satan can only talk to you in your head. And we have to see and don't give him place. Because he would get us to take his perception, and after a while, we don't even remember where it came from. And then we start thinking it's just something we want to do or something we have to do or something we enjoy doing, and we begin to make excuses and we minimize the wrongness in it because we start trying to make wrong look right. But I come to tell you tonight, there's no right way to do wrong. And we're going to read verses 14, 15, and 16. And it reads, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine." Come on now, in the land. And he began to be in want. You know, not only did he had spent everything that he had, a famine came in the land, and there was much shortage. And, you know, he was kind of on the bottom of the pole because he was in a land, you know, he wasn't in his homeland. And 15 said, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. See, he was in another country. And he sent him into the field to feed the swines. He gave him a job, but he had to feed the pigs. And he would fain, F-A-I-N, which means gladly. And so I'll read it that way. He would gladly have his belly with the hawks of the swine that the swines did eat. And no man gave unto him. What's this saying? He went to the country. He spent everything he had. A famine came. He went to a citizen of that country, and he got a job. And his job was to feed the pigs. And because there was a famine, and plus because he probably didn't make that much, he didn't have money, so he began to eat the pig slop. You see, he squandered all that his father had worked so hard on. Selfish, shallow fulfillment, and he lost everything. You know, his financial disaster is followed by a natural disaster in the form of famine, which he failed to plan for. Come on now. You see, what this telling us, we got to learn to plan. You know, and we use Katrina a lot, but just like when Katrina came, we couldn't plan for that. Well, in a sense, we can, because we live in New Orleans and we know it's going to always be there is a possibility of be a hurricane. But we don't know when, and we don't know how, and we don't know how big it's going to be. But you see, this is saying, you know, he spent everything he had, and he failed a plan for the disaster that he wasn't, the famine that he didn't know even would take place. But God always wants us to be prepared. Just like after Katrina came, will it be another one? I don't know. Will it be something close to that? I don't know. But you live in New Orleans, and we have a possibility for 6 months to have hurricanes. And if the city now tell us to evacuate, we pick up and we leave. But we got to have something or somewhere to leave, something to leave with. Are you going to be stuck out? You see, at this point, he sells himself into physical slavery, to a Gentile. Now, earlier I told you Jews and Gentiles didn't get along because, see, the Jews knew that they was the promised people. God said it, he meant it, and he don't take it back. Right now, 2015, December the 2nd, the Jews are still the promised people, even in their disobedience, because God is not an Indian giver. And he promised Abraham, and he said, because I promised your forefathers, it's going to stand. You see, now, he in another country, the Gentiles was the Ascalons. They was the big-timers. They was God's chosen people. They knew it, and they walked around prideful. They looked down on the Gentiles, but now he's in another country. Sell himself into slavery to a Gentile. Come on now, y'all. Satan will set you up to fail. Not only that, he find himself feeding pigs. A detestable job for the Jews. Because y'all know Muslims, they don't even eat pork. So imagine having to feed the pig and eating out of the pig pen with the pigs and your master, a Gentile. Satan really messed him up, huh? But you see, he was leaning to his own understanding. And he was using, he had come into pride because he wanted all of his now because he figured he could manage it. Not only pride, he was selfish. And you see, well, selfish, prideful, thinking can get you. You see, the honoree is that his choices led him to a position that he had no choice but to work for a stranger at that, doing the very things he refused to do for his father. You know, it's just like our society, and you know, God bless our young men, and you know, when they go to jail, they get a job. They'll take a job in the kitchen and work for $2 a day. And they're on the street and they don't want to work. See, he refused to do that for his father. So he said, give me mine. I don't want your rules and regulations. I don't want to be working around here. Give me my stuff and let me leave. But now he had no choice but to work for a stranger at that, doing the very thing he refused to do for his father. See, Satan will set you up, let you hit rock bottom, pack his bags and walk out on him, and then you're stuck out on your own. You see, to top it off, he apparently was paid so little that he began to eat the pig's food. You know, just when he must have thought life could get no worse, he couldn't even beg. You know how the people on the corner have the sign, could you give me 50 cents? My house is burned down. I'll work for food. You know, we have them all over the city. When he thought it could get no worse than that, he couldn't find mercy among the people. Remember, first of all, it was a famine, so everybody was short. And not only that, he was a stranger to him. Come on now, y'all. And when he had money, he probably could have get some help, and everybody was in love with him and wanted to be with him and around him. But you know, everybody loves a winner, and when your money is gone, the people are gone too. Hallelujah. You see, apparently, once everything was gone, so was his so-called friends. And he couldn't get no mercy because he was a stranger. It was a famine, so everybody was short. And they, you know, they wasn't going to have time for you. They trying to take care of themselves. When you have nothing, sometimes, it's hard to get something. You know, sometimes when you got a lot of money and stuff and good things coming in, more good things come in, but sometimes when you ain't got nothing, you can't get nothing from nowhere. You see, this is a picture of the state of the lost sinner, a rebellious Christian who has returned to a life of slavery to sin. You know, sin usually make you a slave, like an addiction, a bad habit, you know, things that you keep constantly doing. And, you know, you sometimes get to the place where you feel you can't stop, and then you become a slave. And remember, sin promised more than it could give. You see, sin promised freedom, but in actuality, it brings slavery. And now we're going to read the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th verse. And when he had came to himself, now, he done set back, he evaluating. You know, sometime in our lives, we gotta set back and just evaluate, look at where we at and understand where we're trying to go and make a plan to get there. Sometimes we just keep moving. Are we not paying attention? Are we going to wallow in our sorrow that we can't see the forest for the trees? We can't see the blessings because we are unthankful for what we have. we can't receive more. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my father has, bread enough and some to share. And here I am, I'm perishing with hunger. 18, I will arise, come on now, and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Come on now, he's getting humble, huh? You go all the way down. If you're all the way down, there's no other way for you to come up. And because you were so far down, you're going to come up with a humble heart. You're going to come up with a spirit to try to be thankful. You know, that's why God allows some situation and adversity to come in our lives. Because if he don't, we might have the big head and continue to go that way. And don't, God forbid, if you get to the place where you want to boast that what you have or what you did it on your own. God said everything he got set up, he's doing. Because he's not going to give no man the opportunity to boast. And the man, and he said, and then on 19, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, come on now, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's a good dad, huh? You know, he didn't take time to say, you done took your money. You know how some people say, well, you done took your money. You figure it out. Come on, y'all. He didn't say that. He didn't turn his back on his son. Did he have the right to do it? He could have. But you see, he had compassion. Come on now. He was a forgiving father. See, that's what the word of God do when we get it in our heart. You know, it's not that the boy deserved it, but because the man had compassion and was using God and Jesus as an example and thought about all of the forgiveness that God had did towards him. Come on now. And how God always received him back in his shortcomings with open arms. Why wouldn't he extend that to his son? You see, the son began to reflect on his condition and realize that even his father's servant had it better than him. This is reflective of a sinner when he or she discovers the destitute condition of their lives because of sin. Come on now. They go to jail and they get saved. They get on drugs and go to a program and they get saved, you know. And then sometimes we still want to look at them funny. But we should rejoice because they are saved. No matter what it took to get them there, rejoice that they are now. Show compassion towards them and receive them in the body of Christ with a loving spirit. You see, some people go to get saved, and after they say it, people treat them so bad. I'm talking about not the people outside. I'm talking about people inside the body of Christ. They treat them so bad till they walk out again and maybe even go back to doing what they was doing. We got to watch how we receive the people as they come in. The Bible says whatever condition and state that you in, you come as you are. They ain't talking about how you dress. But if you're a hoe, come on. If you was on drugs, come on. If you was a fornicator, come on. No matter what you did, come on. Just like the title says, God says, I'm waiting for you with open arms. You see, this is the realization that apart from God, there is no hope. This is when the repentant sinner comes to his senses and longs to return to the state of fellowship with God, which was lost when Adam sinned. He is willing to give up his rights as his father's son and take on the position of a servant. He says, it's better for me to be a servant in my dad's house. I'll eat better, I'll live better, I'll be cleaner, the food will be better, and I know I'm going to eat three times a day. I know this, I know that. I'm willing to be a servant in my dad's house, lose my sonship. Come on now. Lose. He hadn't already spent his inheritance. We have to watch where Satan bring us to. Because when it's all said and done and we look in the mirror, we might not be where we want to be. You see, he now humbled himself and no longer has puffed up pride. This is exactly what conversion is all about. Ending a life of slavery to sin through confession to the Father, faith in Jesus Christ, and becoming a slave to righteousness. Y'all understanding this parable? Offering one's body as a living sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed bulls and goats. In the New Testament, God wants us to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Reasonable. Let's reason together for the things that God has done and doing in our lives. God shows up every morning when he breathed breath in you. Come on now. And then he let the sun shine. And he allow your limbs, some of us, and for those who don't, he still give you strength to go through the day. You know, God is doing his part. And becoming a living sacrifice is only us doing our part. And when a Christian know better and don't do it, sin always has a way, has its way with you. Then you begin to remember when and realize that sin always promises more than it can give. And you come to your senses, or you should. But you see, if you're not inspecting yourself, if you're not really paying attention to what you're doing, and if it's not lining up with the will of God, then there will be no change. You know, for change to take place, something's got to happen. The definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over and just expecting a different result going to jump out the hat. It's not going to happen. You see, the prodigal son was satisfied to return home as a slave, but his father restored him back into full privileges. You know, that's when we walk away from God. We might stop going to church. We might stop praying. We might stop paying tithes. We might stop fellowshipping. We might stop talking to God. We might stop spending time with God. We might stop being intimate with God. You know, all of these things could happen. But when you get ready, God starts you with full privileges. Come on now. This is what God does for a repentant sinner. Not only are we forgiven, but we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, given full privileges. You know, somebody might have came to Jesus 90 years ago, and here we got a little child coming to Jesus at the age of 10. Both of them have full privilege. There's no big eyes and no little youth. And God ain't going to say you was on a field longer, so you get more than he get. But the thing is, when you make yourself a living sacrifice and you sanctify yourself through the word of God and prayer, you just have more more things to stand on. You have maybe built your faith up more. But even the one that's 10, God know where they are, and they got full privilege. And God don't expect them to know everything that you know at 90 and been on a battlefield for 50 years. So everybody's still equal. There's no respect to person, and everybody is on the same playing field. God looks at the 10-year-old with 10 years, 10-year-old maturity, and look at the 90. Now, let me tell you where the problem comes. The one that may be 90, they accepted Christ, but they didn't take time to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. So they might be at the same level with the 10-year-old as far as the things of God. And that's when it's kind of like a problem. But you see, he gave him full privilege. The father orders the best robe, which is a sign of honor. He gives him a ring for his hand, which is a sign of authority and sonship. You see, when he gave him that ring and people see that ring in that robe, they know that that's his son. So when he was willing to give up his sonship, the father restored it back. And he gave him sandals for his feet. And when they put on sandals, that represented that there wasn't a servant. You see, when we receive Christ upon salvation, we receive the road of redeemed righteousness. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost, and we get the sandals on our feet with the readiness to come to the gospel in peace. You see, a fatted calf was killed and prepared. Now, this is so important. You see, when they killed the calf, they shed the blood. And you see, the shedding of blood is necessary for the remission of sins. And when you have the remission of sins, there's forgiveness. That daddy killed that calf, and he shed that blood, which is atonement for sins. And a calf was usually killed when there were special guests. That's what the dad did for the son. You see, if you read further, you will see that everyone is not happy when you find your way. You see, the eldest son became very angry and disappointed about the way in which his father received the lost son. He was only focused on himself. He began to deal with issues of injustice and equality and failed to see the value of his son's repentance and return. Why he coming back? I've been here working all of this time, and now he back, and he done gave him his full privileges back. He gonna get another one-third, and it should be mine. See, that's the kind of things rise up in the sun. And you could understand it. He stayed there. He worked for all the length of time that the other one was gone. He didn't receive an inheritance. And he still stayed there and was faithful to the father. And now he took his money, left, and now he back, and he back where he was. You know, some people say, well, I should have went too. He preferred to nurse his anger rather than enjoy the fellowship with his father and his brother. He chose suffering and isolation over restoration and reconciliation. He sees his brother return as a threat to his own inheritance. The law does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank God for Jesus. Instead of condemnation, there is rejoicing for a son or a daughter who has been dead but now alive, who once was lost but now is found. Note the parable, the parallel between dead and alive, lost and found, terms that are also applies to one state before and after conversion in Christ. This is a picture of what occur in heaven over one repentant sinner. You know, they say the heavens, the angels rejoice when someone is saved. And I'm going to close with this. The picture of the father receiving the son back into relationship is a picture of how we should respond to repentant sinners as well. Remember, we have all sinned, and we all have sinned, and we are included in that all, you and me. We all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And all of our righteous acts are filthy rags apart from Christ. Remember, it's only by God's grace that we are saved, not by works that we may boast. No matter what state you are in, and have, and if you never accepted Christ as your Savior, or even if you return, if you're returning back to God, He is waiting with open arms, waiting to welcome you home. This is the message of the parable of the prodigal son. I pray that each and every one of you see how Jesus used parables to describe the kingdom of God, to describe how He's working it out together for our good. You know, He used that parable to say, you know, Jesus is saying, I'll forgive you. I'll receive you back. I don't hold nothing against you. Come on back, you know. Get it right, you know. And how much He loves us as that Father loved His Son. And that should give us hope. And that should give us, oh, Lord, it should just let us be able, that is what allows me to live in this world. You know, I don't have a problem with nothing. And I praise day that I don't have a problem with nothing, because to me, as long as God stays on His throne and Jesus stays at the right hand of the Father interceding in our behalf, and He has filled us with the Holy Ghost, and He told us He's our present help, present mean right now, and then He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I believe I could go on in the midst of these stones. I believe I could go on in this evil world. And it's not so much what happens to me. It's not so much what happens around me. But what is important is who I go through it with. And that's our lesson. It is now 9:28. If anybody would like to comment on a lesson, if anybody would like to pray or ask for a prayer request, you know, now is the time. You could press the one button. I'll open your mic. The word of God is so good. It is so true. And it's set out what it accomplished to do if you cooperate with it. You know, we're supposed to be growing in the things of God. That's why y'all on the phone with the Bible study, because we want to grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And before I get off, I want to let y'all know that I will be bringing the sermon on Sunday. I will be preaching at my church, and the name of the church is Greater Liberty Baptist Church, and the address is 1230 Desire Street. You know, it's not my first time preaching, but usually I don't never comment on it, but for some reason, you know, I'm commenting on it tonight. So, and it's for 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, 1230 Desire. And if any one of you would like to fellowship with me, you know, we do it on the phone. Some of you guys I've never even seen, but I will be bringing the message in the worship service on Sunday at 9 a.m. at 1230 Desire Street. If any one of you can join, if any one of you could join me, I would sure like to see you. I have a caller that pressed the button. Your number is 504-715. I'm gonna open your mic now, and whatever you would like to say or do, We're going to turn it over to you at this time. 715-46, your mic is open.
I've enjoyed it. This is Maria. I would love to be there Sunday, but I had to smile when you said it because we both minister on Sunday at our churches.
Yes.
But I thought on not that just the fact that he left, but that he wasted his substance.
That's right.
Leaving us with the body of Christ. Sometimes we waste our substance because Christ said he was going back to the Father and he was going to give gifts unto men. So what are we doing with the gifts, with the substance that he placed inside of us? But I've enjoyed them tonight, and I'm going to do this song worthy. Because like you say, Jesus is our healing, our deliverer. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrifice your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving.
Yes.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Lord, you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you forever. I worship you. I magnify your name forever because I am free, because I am whole. And I will tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Lord, you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, and I will tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Lord, you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. It's always a pleasure. And I thank God for the talents that he gave you. And not only that, but you use your talent for kingdom building
the glory,
and giving him,
the glory. That's it.
Giving him glory. And God honors that. So when you get to heaven and you go to the judgment seat of Christ, you will not go empty-handed. Hallelujah.
Crown of glory. Crown of righteousness.
Crown of glory.
Yes,
and he shall be able to stay servant. My good and faithful servant, well done. And I say the same thing tonight.
Yeah.
Well done, servant of God. And thank you so much. Well,
thank you, and be blessed.
It's now time for me to, what I'm going to do is have the closing prayer so that the people who like to hear the music, once the prayer goes forward, some people have to get off the line because it's full. It's 9:34, and we're going to, I'm going to go ahead and do the prayer. And if anybody, you don't have to go, they could go, and they wouldn't have left before the program is over. And Madison is still here with me. I'm going to have to start calling Madison our prayer warrior. But Madison is going to say the closing prayer. After that, I'll play music because some people ask that I continue to play music. Well, another song at least. But you'll be having a closing prayer now and a benediction, and then I'll play the music if anybody else would like to stay. Hold on. Here, Madison.
God, thank you for this Wednesday that people are able to tune in and listen to things about you, and that the things that they learn are correct, and that when they learn it, they'll use it in the right purpose, not to help, not to hurt you, God. And please be with them while they're about to go to sleep, because when they wake up, I want them to be able to wake up for that Wednesday again to listen to things about the Bible, things about you, God. Thank you. Please be with us tomorrow while we have our day and make sure we are protected. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. So that is our lesson for tonight. I pray that the word of God does not return void, that you could use what God has given us in his word and apply it to our lives, that we may grow stronger in grace and in knowledge. You know, the Bible say, you know, there's some people who think they got it going on and that they know God. But how are you going to know him if you didn't read the word? You see, the word of God is God talking to us. And there are people that never picks up the word of God. So they can't hear God talking to them, but they're so used to hearing someone else talk. But in 2 Timothy 2:15, Timothy say, you got to study to show thyself approved. Become a workman in the word of God. You know, God, the Bible is God talking to us. And when we pray, it is us talking to God. You know, we're not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go, thinking what's necessary. Like, you done figured out what is necessary for you to do for God, or how to do for God, or when to do for God, or why to do for God. God didn't want your interpretation. That's why he wrote the Bible and included 66 books. Don't ever think you big and bad enough to know. And just make it up as you go. And I'm going to leave it at that. But that's it for tonight. And the Lord be with you until we meet again. God loves each and every one of you, and so do I. And at this time, I'm going to play some music. When the song go off, if there's still people on the line and you want to say something, I can put it on. I mean, I could open your mic if there's anyone still on. But I'm going to play this song, and then after that, we'll end the program for the night. God loves you, and so do I. And I look forward to being with you on next Wednesday. If the Lord say the same, if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back here again. But y'all be blessed, and I'm going to be praying for you to God all during the week. And pray that I meet you back on Wednesday. Be blessed.
Mm-hmm. Everybody. God
has spoken.
So let the church.
Let the church
to what his word says.
Amen.
God has spoken.
God.
how your world is reeling. Battle on through the night.
Amen.
'Cause you're gonna win the fight.
Amen.
Even in the valley.
Amen.
Or standing at your Red Sea.
Amen.
Continue to say.
Amen.
'Cause your help. The church say, oh, 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 lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
That the church can say amen. That's our program for tonight. If it's God's will, we'll be back on Wednesday night, same time, same station. And I just want each and every one of you to know that I love you, and I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying with you. And I pray that you do the same for me and my family. And pray for Madison, that in this wicked world that he could continue to steadfast and be unmovable in the things of God. Pray for that young man in Jesus' name. And that's it for tonight. God be with you until we meet again. That's the end of our program for tonight. Good night and be blessed.